Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. I am here with one of my favorite Devy people, Brandon Lejeune. We're going to be talking about Jameson Williams. How fun. And I told you this before we hopped on, but I want to say it again, how fun it's been to watch your growth in the community. You just had a tweet today. When people are hearing this, it's probably going to be 2 to 3 weeks old, but that you surpassed 2,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
YouTube channel.
I did. Yeah, it was kind of a personal goal for me since starting my channel about a year and a half ago. So I appreciate the shout out on it. Yeah, my YouTube channel is called Devy to Dynasty, and I do a lot of, right now I'm doing rookie profile film breakdowns similar to what we're talking about today. Jameson Williams actually was my first profile film that I posted on my channel about, 30 days ago, I guess. So yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a personal goal I reached, and I appreciate the kind words on my growth.
Yeah.
And just having a great time.
So help him out with those numbers. Devy to Dynasty, subscribe. That's your one stop, like, to watch film. Like, Brandon is just freaking killing it, putting out those videos all the time. So there's something about your delivery as well. I feel like it's very humble. Mm-hmm. Yet I feel like I'm getting educated.
Yeah, well, my true passion is really just making player scouting films, right? I think a lot of people, when they watch film, they probably go to YouTube and watch the highlight reels and feel as though they know a player's skill set by watching the highlight reel. And certainly you can glean some information about players in that regard, but I'd like to go a little deeper. I'd like to do the film breakdowns where maybe you're not watching the plays that everyone else has seen, so you can truly scout a player, whether it's a running back, a wide receiver, whatever. So yeah, I enjoy just cutting up film. And, providing that to people so they can scout. I enjoy scouting.
What has that grind been like, getting to 2,000 subscribers on YouTube?
It's just been fun. I really don't have any high hopes of, super high numbers or anything, but it was just kind of a personal goal I have. And my personal goal for 2022 is to try to get to 5,000. So maybe in 2023, when I'm back on the rookie podcast here, we'll see where we make out. But I appreciate the plug for it.
Yeah, man, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're being heard, because when you're doing this, sometimes that is the payoff, is knowing that people are tuning in and that you're doing something for a reason and people are listening to you and you're being heard. And I think that you should be. You're one of those people.
I appreciate that.
So we're going to talk about Jameson Williams today. Mm-hmm. Anybody that didn't tune in last year, our Rookie Fever player profiles, we're just bringing in a lot of Devy experts throughout the community and just focusing on one player at a time rather than to try to mix them all in and comp them to each other. Not saying we won't do that today.
Mm-hmm.
So why Jameson Williams?
Well, Jameson Williams, for a little history, he was at Ohio State in 2019 and 20, and in 2021, he transferred to Alabama. So, which a lot of people probably at first thought that maybe wasn't a great decision on him leaving Ohio State. But in fact, it turned out to be a great decision. He really didn't get a lot of productivity in 2019 or 2020. In fact, he only had 15 receptions through those first 2 years. I mean, as we know, the talent level at Ohio State is exceptional. So he couldn't get on the field. So he comes to Alabama and he just had an exceptional season with 79 receptions, over 1,500 yards, averaging close to 20 yards a catch and 15 TDs. And as we saw him, the poor man, unfortunately, tore his ACL in the game towards the end of the season there that we all saw, unfortunately, in that championship game. But nonetheless, he's an explosive playmaker, and I think he's my number one receiver going into the 2022 draft. And I just really, really liked what I saw when I watched his film.
So what kind of draft capital at this point? You say he's your number one wide receiver. Do you think, I guess, two-part question, what do you think you would have to pay to get him after this injury, and what are you willing to pay to get him?
As far as
a rookie pick.
A rookie pick? Oh, I think he's going to be a first-round rookie pick. I mean, it depends on landing spot.
Would you draft him as your first wide receiver, though, in the 2022 class, or do you think you can wait because of the injury?
I don't think ACL injuries are what they were in the past. I don't think anyone's really worried about his ACL injury. We saw George Pickens come back, you know, within the season after tearing his ACL in the spring. So, no, if his landing spot's good, I'm going to have a hard time not picking him as my number one receiver unless he just ends up on a dog team like Cleveland or something. No disrespect to the Cleveland fans, but from a landing spot, they know, right? I'm not worried about his ACL injury. I think in this class, you could look at Williams, Garrett Wilson, Traylon Burks. You know, Drake London is kind of creeping up into that wide receiver one discussion lately as well. So there's a lot of different type of players. All three of these players are different. I just like Jameson Williams. I think that he's a space creator. He's a technician when it comes to route running from what I've seen. I like the way he manipulates defenses and, you know, within his routes. And I just have him above, you know, Wilson at Burks. But they're all three great receivers. I think he's going to get first round draft capital without a doubt. And looking at mock drafts, which is one of my favorite things to do, he's not getting out of the first round.
Do you feel like you have an ideal landing spot then for his skill set? When you're starting to look at it now, or?
No, I mean, I don't think he is going to be, I mean, he could potentially be a wide receiver one on a team, but I mean, he played primarily on the outside. 73% of his routes were on the outside. So he's either going to play the X or, you know, the Z position most likely, but he can win in the slot as well. But landing spot, I mean, look, I just looking at mock drafts this morning and the Eagles at number 17, they had him possibly going to the Eagles. So I know that's another team. A lot of people think that wide receivers go to die, and I can't disagree with that. But nonetheless, yeah, I just want him to go to a team that has a capable quarterback and a somewhat of a good offensive system. That would be the goal of really all of these top wide receivers. We want them to go to landing spots that, you know, have a reliable up and coming wide, you know, quarterback who can get them the ball.
I won't lie though, and I don't know if you listened to last week's or this week's Rookie Fever yet, but DeVonta Smith over exceeded all of my expectations in that offense. So that was really fun to say. So yeah, maybe you finally found one.
And then
and I mean, for you as a Philly fan, if then you get Williams in that offense too, I mean, how fun is that for you? But I do think that Philly, and people don't want to hear this, they're going to be looking for another wide receiver, just like the Lions will be.
So without a doubt. I mean, we have three first round picks, and I think they need to come out of this draft with another receiver if they're going to go with Hurts and build around him. Just like Joe Burrow has three great receivers. The Rams have three great receivers. I mean, that's really what it takes. So yeah. I think the Eagles are smart enough to know. But a guy like Williams coming in with an existing wide receiver one, possibly already on the team, is only going to increase his draft stock for me.
So size comp, when I'm watching your videos and seeing just looking into it myself, I don't even want to say this, but I'm going to. The comp that keeps coming to my head is, could he be my Jalen Waddle? My next Jalen Waddle for the 2022 class, because you know I've fallen in love with Waddle.
Yeah, well, he was one of my favorites last year as well. He's just a different size, speed kind of player. So, I mean, Williams is 6'2", 190 pounds. He's got the length. He reminds me of kind of a CeeDee Lamb type, right? He's got the same height, build as CeeDee Lamb. I think his floor and ceiling could possibly be very similar to CeeDee Lamb. So as far as a comp, for him, don't really see the Jalen Waddle. He's more of a shifty, smaller kind of guy. But this guy, he's got the height. He's got the long arms. He's got the big hands. He's got the ability to really go up and get the ball on 50-50 balls. So I see him as a downfield threat. And really what I like about him, what sets him, because a lot of people, especially on my Slack chat and everything, they say, well, what sets him apart from the Garrett Wilson or Traylon Burks? I just like his explosiveness with the ball in his hands, his yards after catch. Him and Traylon Burks led this wide receiver class. They both have 9.3 average yards after the catch ability. So of all the wide receivers coming into the 2022 draft, Traylon Burks and Jameson Williams are pretty much tied at 9.3. These are stats off PFF. That really shows you their explosion with the ball in their hands. And if you've watched any of the Bama games this year, you saw what he was able to do with the ball in his hands after the catch. He's explosive. He's fast. He's got really good speed. That's what puts him over Garrett Wilson and Traylon Burks for me, is his, what he can do with the ball in his hands after the catch.
You're starting to make me really want to put him on the outside and then have him on Ross St. Brown in the slot.
Yeah, Possibly.
That's what you're making me want.
Yeah. You must be a Lions fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, why not? We need somebody on the outside.
We've absolutely
got some draft picks too, really. And I know now I'm going up against your Philly team and we're trying to both pull them to our teams, but we could use that. And I think that Amon-Ra could still succeed out of the slot there.
Absolutely.
So we'll have to see. You're answering so many questions on the fly as we go.
Okay. The other thing I really like about Jameson, too, is his special teams ability. So he was a kickoff returner, and he had two touchdowns returning kicks this year for Alabama. And again, if you looked at the championship game, you saw his explosiveness and his athleticism when, in fact, he was actually on special teams on kickoff coverages. He went down and made those couple tackles. I think he got that penalty as well, this unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, when he was involved in one of those plays. It just showed you the speed that he has to get down the field, the athleticism, and just the my ball mentality that this guy has. I think he's the real deal in the full package.
So as far as this wide, I actually want to regress really super quickly before the next question. A couple minutes ago, you mentioned your Slack chat, the Devi dashboard, somewhere else that we didn't mention at the beginning of the show, but somewhere else that people could go to find you and help keep up on what you're doing and your knowledge outside of Twitter, which if people miss that, that is at Devi Deep Dive on Twitter. But that's kind of where your community sort of started to grow, isn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, I spend primarily most of my time on my Slack chat versus Twitter. It's just something I created a while ago. It's my Devi dashboard. It's a research center for Devi players, college players, C2C. It's a great way to learn about college players. I link my films to that. So it's a fun thing that I created 2 years ago. I've been really having a good time with it.
A great place to be, and especially if you want to get off Twitter for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's it's really why I created it. So it's a comfortable space for people to share ideas, and we talk about film, and people feel comfortable.
Speaking of comfortable, we have a comfortable ceiling of CeeDee Lamb as far as a comp. What about a floor?
Well, I guess you could possibly say a floor of CeeDee Lamb as well, if you take a look at him this year. It's amazing how values change in wide receivers. I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver too. Depending on the team, I could see year one him having a floor of, you know, 800 yards, 6-7 touchdowns.
An awesome rookie season. I mean, by all means.
I really do. I really believe, again, I think landing spots matter. So we'll have to see where he lands. It should be fun to see. But hopefully, like I said, as I said previously, if he gets in an offensive system that's somewhat secure, has a good guy who can throw him the ball, and he will get open in space. So he'll just need someone who can put the ball where it needs to be when he does create the space.
So I'm curious. I'm seriously curious. So you're on the clock in your rookie draft, and it's that area where Jameson Williams is there, and you don't have a draft pick. So you're not on the clock. I apologize. Somebody else is on the clock, but this is where you need to take Jameson Williams, and you have CeeDee Lamb. How much extra do you want on top of this pick to get Jameson Williams and trade your CeeDee Lamb away?
I'm going to keep my CeeDee Lamb. Okay. I like CeeDee Lamb's landing spot. I think the Dallas Cowboys are possibly going to be better. I mean, 2 years ago, we were talking about CeeDee Lamb as possibly the wide receiver one after his great rookie season. Mm-hmm. And I think he maybe had a little bit of a sophomore slump here, but I still believe in CeeDee Lamb as a long-term Devi wide receiver one
with
or
his
dynasty.
Slump, he still had more yards than Amari Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. But I think people were kind of down on that whole Cowboys team this year. We live in a what have you done for me lately society, especially when it comes to dynasty football. So I'm going to keep CeeDee Lamb right now over Jameson Williams. It's actually one of the things that we talk a lot about. It's one of the bigger challenges people who play Devi is how do you value those rookie picks to existing wide receivers, running backs, whatever, who already have a landing spot, who already, you know, what is their environment? What is the long-term projection of those players who have already been productive? I value them higher than taking a shot on like, oh, I love Jameson Williams's film. Oh, when he landed in a great spot. Oh, I'm all over Jameson Williams. Nah, I'm going to keep CeeDee Lamb in that example.
Right. And it's even like you and I talked about really quickly before we hit record in the, even in the 2021 class, it seems like we're trying to create 8 to 10 players that have the potential of being a wide receiver too. And I know potential is such a loose word, but then the reality is if you take the last three classes, you actually only have like 6 to 8 players that are in that wide receiver two range currently, but we want to create 10 every year in every class that like, oh, they could be a wide receiver two. And I know you're saying Jameson Williams is your wide receiver one going into the class. So that is a realistic expectation, but we want to make everybody into a wide receiver two and create these narratives in our head.
Well, that's what the Rookie Fever podcast is all around, right? Right. The fever, right? It's called Rookie.
There is no cure.
It is no cure. There's Rookie Fever. I'm looking at my board right now, and there's probably 12 or 13 receivers that I think could potentially be wide receiver 3 and 4s, possibly. But I think you're absolutely right. People get too excited. A lot of people think a lot of these players are going to hit and make it to our dynasty rosters. And in fact, more than half most likely will not.
Yeah, but then even to your point of the wide receiver 3s and 4s, they're important to us too. If you're starting three wide receivers and you have 12 teams, that's 36. So we need those wide receiver 3s and 4s, and some of them are putting up similar points to that bottom half of the wide receiver 2s. So in today's NFL, wide receivers are plentiful and score lots of points.
Absolutely.
Even into that wide receiver 3 area.
I would agree.
So we just want the moon.
Of course we do.
Or is it? No, it's we want the stars when we can shoot for the moon.
That's right.
Come on, Brandon.
I think you correct me on that. Yeah, I think we all have a tendency to overvalue a lot of these players, but it's just the excitement that we have. It's rookie draft season, right?
Absolutely.
We've been watching these players for all year in college, and we have dreams and hopes that they all make it to our dynasty rosters, but we'll see what happens.
And you want to find them too. Like, you want to get attached to something and then have it hit, because it is an awesome feeling when that happens, especially if it's somebody that you were kind of maybe a little bit alone on the island, you know, maybe sharing a little bit of coconut with people, but not much. And then it hits and you're just like, wow, I nailed that. That feels good.
That does feel good. Feels very good. And then on the flip side, it feels very bad when you like somebody and they don't hit.
The inevitable misses.
Yeah, the inevitable misses. And we all have them. So.
Yep. Do you feel like the consensus on Jameson Williams going in and then post-injury is still very similar to him being the wide receiver one, or do you think a few people have maybe knocked him down a little bit?
Oh, I think he's been knocked down quite a bit. I think most people have either Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks as their number one, which is fine. I mean, they're both, I think they're all tier one potential wide receiver 1/2s on our dynasty roster. They're all three very different players, and they bring different skill sets to the table, and it's all just going to be a personal preference after watching their film, looking at their profile production, which one you like. And of course, I think landing spots will most likely make a difference too, and will adjust the values of these top players. You know, for example, if a player lands in San Diego and they get rid of Mike Williams, or Garrett Wilson lands in Cleveland and Jameson Williams lands with San Diego, I have a feeling and if their draft capital will all be day one, without a doubt, of all three of those top receivers, there'll be some tough decisions to make, especially if you're a Garrett Wilson. He's my number one guy. Maybe Jameson Williams, your number three. Burks is number two. Well, then you're going to be in a pickle because you're going to have to make that decision.
I'm going to break a promise and get a little bit off topic here super quick. So how did you feel about Joshua Palmer coming into the draft?
You know, I didn't watch a lot of Palmer. He was one of those receivers that not a lot of people were talking about before the draft. I think he got draft capital higher than most people were expecting, and finds himself in a great situation there, right? So that's the talk right now. Mike Williams, I believe he's an unrestricted free agent, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So everyone wants a part of that offense. Everybody wants, you know, Keenan Allen's getting a little older. So, you know, who's he going to be throwing that ball to down the line? So that's a juicy landing spot for sure. So I know there's a lot of people talking right now, go out and get yourself some Palmer. I'm not opposed to that thought process at all. You never know.
I'm not opposed to it either. And it's even something that I think we've talked about on Rookie Fever, but he didn't do a ton year one to think that something like you just mentioned could happen. And then Palmer's stock just drops and your opportunity to move on from him goes away. And now you're waiting for what would people be presuming as Keenan Allen leaving the team, because they've already been waiting for Mike Williams. But then you say, hypothetically, they draft Jameson Williams or somebody else to take Mike Williams' spot, which they could very well do.
Absolutely.
And now I'm suddenly not as interested in Josh Palmer.
Well, I think anytime there's an opening when you're one of the top five wide receivers, you know, whether it's the Bills or Burrow, I mean, Burrow doesn't need anyone because they have Boyd and the other guy there and Chase, obviously. So, yeah, those top five quarterbacks, who are they throwing the ball to? Because that matters. Those receivers are going to get production with when you've got a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's looking at the depth charts, seeing a free agent leave. That's pretty normal process in Dynasty too. Everybody wants to get that next sleeper.
Do you have any questions or concerns outside of the injury for Jameson Williams?
My one concern would be his physicality. That's one thing that I look for a lot in wide receivers. And in my film profile on my YouTube channel, he did face a lot of press, obviously playing in the SEC, and he fared pretty well. But again, he's got that thinner build. That would be my only concern watching his film, is the physicality at the catch point and the release off the line of scrimmage. But other than that, I have very few concerns about his game.
Nice. Let's take out Ja'Marr Chase. How would you compare this wide receiver class to last year's wide receiver class?
I think you're going to have top three or four players who are going to land and be productive. And I think then there's going to be a lot of wild cards. I think this class could be a little deeper, though. I think there's guys in this class, Drake London, Jahan Dotson, Pickens. I think all of these guys have the potential to be wide receivers too. So I'm going to have to answer that question with it could be potentially a little deeper than last year.
A little deeper, maybe not as top heavy.
Yeah,
you said four, though. I mean, and that was kind of similar to this class. If you that produced, if you have Chase, Waddle, Amon-Ra, Devonta, and then if you count Elijah Moore, who, when healthy, I mean, was a wide receiver one 28% of the time, had a nice little five game stretch himself.
Right.
So I would even include him in that. I think all those guys were sort of hits this year.
Yeah, so I think we could potentially have 9 to 10 hit this year.
Wow.
So there's some talent in this class.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very promising.
Yeah.
Who is your guy this year? Are we doing your guy right now? I think said that.
Yeah. Well, last year when I was on the show, we had talked about Pat Freiermuth. I was telling you Jalen Waddle was my guy. I mean, he was my favorite. I just enjoyed watching him. Loved his physicality for his size and his playmaking ability, his explosiveness. And as far as from the wide receiver standpoint, this is my guy. This is the guy that I'm most excited about, who I think could be special in the NFL.
Somebody you will not touch in your rookie drafts. You do not have any. If you have him in your Debbie leagues, you're trying to get rid of him.
In this class from the wide receiver, I don't know. I can't think of a wide receiver in my top 10 right now that I wouldn't be excited to have. The one guy that I've really changed my tune on the upside is probably Drake London. He was a guy that I wasn't very high on, but after watching more film, I've actually come to like. But I don't know. I'm looking at my top 10 list right now. I'd like to have all of these guys. You know, I think they all could really produce.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. We'll have to see those landing spots. Brandon, I know you're a Rookie Fever listener, and I very much appreciate that. This year, for the last question I've been asking people, or will be asking people, I want to give you the opportunity to come into this with either some advice to give throughout the off season, some advice to give during rookie or Devy drafts, or if you'd like to leave on a final thought note that we sometimes do on Rookie Fever.
I think that this time of year, what I'd like to do, especially because I've watched film on a lot of these players for most of the year, but I know that there's a lot of people right now who are just starting to get familiar with the rookie class, right? So if you're one of those people that don't watch college football and you're really looking at, you know, the wide receiver class, and let's say you want to really start studying wide receivers, I would say pass on, you know, looking at the top five or six. And I would focus on really looking at going to any kind of ranking system wherever you go on the internet to look at players, and focus on the secondary tiered wide receivers. Because typically there's always one or two guys that, you know, are their fourth or fifth round rookie picks that can hit. And the first two rookie draft rounds are going to be pretty chalky when it comes to which players are going to be taken. Now, people are going to value players differently based on their own thought process and analysis. But those rounds 3, 4, and 5 are the ones where you can try and find those diamonds in the rough, right? If you were lucky enough to draft Elijah Mitchell last year, and this is like a perfect example. Elijah Mitchell last year was not in the top 5 or 6 or 7 running back ranks from what I remember last year. But he was a late round draft pick in the NFL draft, and he found himself in a good opportunity and was given the opportunity and is produced. So spend the time not worrying about, is it Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, if that's the guy you're going to take. Look for those secondary players so you get the full value out of all five of your rookie rounds.
Yeah, I actually love that, because it's so easy to also locate some of the content for some of the top heavy players, because they're easier for any of us to talk about. But if you start looking at those people that people aren't looking at about as much, you might see some traits that you really like that will play into the NFL. I like that a lot. I think that's great advice.
Yeah, for like this particular wide receiver core, you've got guys like Justin Ross. Sky Moore is a name that's been popping up lately. He declared for the draft. People weren't thinking that he was. He's finding himself now in the top 10 of a lot of ranks right now. He is a wide receiver from Western Michigan. You got Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. A deeper guy that I really like is Kyle Phillips. He's a slot receiver from UCLA. So those are the kind of guys that right now that I'm going to be spending a lot of time on really looking at, because I'm familiar with the top 4 or 5. And those are going to be the guys that are drafted at the top of the rounds, most likely. But it's that secondary tier, third tier wide receivers that I would be focusing on, really trying to do your research to be prepared to snag one of those guys in the fourth or fifth round.
Nice. I like it. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Like I said at the beginning of the show, you guys will hear from Brandon again. He's going to be one of the few people we have coming on to do. He's doubling up, putting in the work as always. Like we said, follow at Devi Deep Dive. Find the Devi Dashboard, Devi to Dynasty on YouTube. Brandon, is there anything I'm missing here?
I have a weekly podcast called Devi Deep Dive.
Oh, yeah. And the podcast, Devi Deep Dive.
Sure. But I appreciate the opportunity, Swags. Let's make this an annual event, my friend.
Yes, I love it. Thanks a ton. Appreciate you as always. I am at Swagzilla0G. We are on at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're long on a treat you ride. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And right, I told you anyone's size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's for Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.